Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jacob, and
Royce,
and
Elias.
We all attend Willits High School.
Today our topic is Peaceworks. Peaceworks is the name of the club we formed 2 years ago at Willits High School, with the help of and support of faculty members Carolyn Bakewell, Maricela de Santa Ana. The purpose of the club is to nurture peace and harmony both at the high school and large communities we live in. Our goal is to promote stability, and one of our venues is environmental work, like cleaning up creeks from decades of dumping.
The summer before last, I attended the World Youth Peace Summit in Connecticut. There were 500 teenagers from around the world who wanted to encourage peace in their own communities. At the summit, I learned about strategies for organizing and developing political strength. Being with 500 teenagers from around the world with similar goals confirmed that creating a peace organization at my high school was a worthy effort.
Last year, our club partnered with Thanksgiving Coffee Company to create a fundraiser. They sold our own custom-labeled coffee purchased from a peace cooperative in Uganda. Last May, we hosted an event in Willits to bring community members together to interact and discuss what our community needs and how we perceive our locale. The city planner, city and school administrators, and the general public and members of the Chamber of Commerce shared their visions of harmony in our town and region. Given the economic and environmental stress facing most of us these days, all the attendees thought the event was a good start to try to steer the neighborhood in a peaceful direction. We all knew that we couldn't solve all the problems in Willits, Mendocino County, and the world in one meeting, but the gathering opened up the discussion, and we let people know that there are high school students who want to change things in a positive direction.
A concern across Mendocino County is that many young people grow up thinking about how they want to leave the area when they're old enough. For many of the brightest young people here, school is a long-term evacuation plan. We want to look at the factors that create this negative attitude and try to reverse the trend. When young people get more involved in the environmental work, they develop an appreciation for the region. This connection to the earth may guide more young people to return from college and establish their careers here, maybe even create jobs for other people, adding to regional stability.
At this point, we are hoping to connect with like-minded young people in other parts of Mendocino County. A county-wide alliance would be wonderful. We know personally that being part of Peaceworks gives us the opportunity to work in the community and accomplish positive change, like cleaning up a creek. And being in a club strengthens and encourages the members, like a gang, but with positive goals. This past summer, I attended the Global Youth Peace Summit in Austin, Texas. And again, I sensed the power of uniting with young people beyond my area. We shared our experiences instituting affirmative actions and learned by seeing how different situations call for individual approaches. We discovered new techniques from each other's examples.
There is nothing new about negative confrontations occurring frequently in the halls of any high school. Different subcultures in our communities have strong opinions and students challenge each other in various ways. We are working on developing campaigns that will result in more acceptance of our differences, even appreciation of diversity.
As individuals, we are working on creating our own peaceful mindsets. There are many books and philosophies that can promote calmness. There are many practices like breathing techniques, yoga, and Tai Chi that can give direction as well. We hope that during the call-in portion of the show that you will share your tools for maintaining peace in this confrontational world.
So what we will discuss today is how we created a student club at our high school focused on peace, and why we saw a need for the organization, and how adults in our community have helped to guide us and spread the movement beyond our campus. In about 40 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines for your questions, insights, and experiences. We are in the Willits studio, and our number will be 456-9991. Now let's all go around and talk about just our basic philosophy of peace. Let's start with you, Royce.
Okay, philosophy of peace. Well, I'm not really big on war and killing people, so I think peace is a major thing that everybody should work on. I think we should be peaceful as a country, and peace may seem like a small thing, just being calm and with everyone, but it's not. It's not really that small of a thing.
I think that our species in general is actually getting more peaceful as we evolve and realize that we can work together and come past our differences.
That's awesome. My own philosophy is just that, like Ilya said, it seems to be a growing trend that people are getting more peaceful, and I just feel like there's a great feeling that comes from doing service for others and trying to create stability. It's like a meditative process. You know, you're out cleaning up a creek or something, and you feel this great feeling just adding to something, helping out the community. It's a great thing. So let's talk a little bit about the history of Peaceworks. I know we went over some of that in the intro, but basically, Peaceworks is an organization that I started back in October of 2010, and it was mostly to fulfill this part of myself, this need to give and to just to make a difference. And it was really interesting starting the group, because when I was going to start it, I really didn't know who would participate or if there would really be any interest. It was more of just a personal thing, just start a little group and see what happens. But one of the things I was really really proud of about it is that there was a lot of interest and support beyond anything I could ever imagine. So this is mostly going to people who are interested in starting clubs, if there are any out there. Just be yourself, do what you want to do. Don't really try to fit into any niche in society. Don't think that, oh, you know, you have to be a hippie to be into peace or anything. You can be anyone, you know. You can be liberal or conservative, moderate, you know, of any faith or political background. It's really just about service and doing things that make the world a better place. So, do you guys have any comments on that about the early days?
We're all nonconformists here. Yeah, I remember when Jacob started the group, and I was excited. I was like, hey, he's making a group. I want to be a part of that. And that was way in the beginning. And I think it was like vice something something of the group. It was interesting.
Yeah, I've gone to a few of the Peace Club's meetings, but I'm pretty sure I only officially joined the club this week.
Yeah, the group's great just to meet up with our friends and fellow students in school and just focus on change and like doing things for the better. It's nice. It's nice being part of a group.
Yeah, it's really interesting what we found. We've just been talking before the show came on. We were just talking a little bit about being in Peaceworks a little bit, and one of the things I've noticed as I've talked to various people in the group is that it fulfills this need. Like I was saying earlier, it fulfills this need to give and to be a part of a larger group. There's a lot of safety being in an organization, being around people who support your ideas, and it's really great. And I'm really proud of the fact that I feel like between all of us, we've created a really nice community, a very safe environment. So,
I gotta say that the Peaceworks group is a really easy group to be a part of, because I mean, who really does want to be a part of like peace? And it's a good topic, and it's a good group.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the things about the group is when we're starting it, I mean, personally, I had the question of like, who would join? Who would be interested? I remember going up to Royce and asking him and asking a few others and being really happy that there was a lot of support for it. The harder question, though, it's really easy to go up to your friends and say, hey, you want to come over and do this during lunch? You want to talk about peace and everything? But talking to teachers is something that can be on quite a different level. So I remember one morning I was in my art class and I was just doing a picture and my teacher came by, Miss Bakewell, and I was a little nervous about asking. I knew that she was really into peace and very liberal, but I wasn't sure how she would react if I asked her to be like the advisor for the group, and I asked pretty quietly, you know, kind of shy about it, and she was just very supportive and warm toward the idea, and it was really great. And all the faculty over the years, I mean, we've been doing this for 2 years now, But at first, when we started the group, I know there was a lot of skepticism toward it. At least that was just in my mind. I don't know if it really existed, but I felt like there was this little bit of edginess, a lot of expectation, a lot of things that I felt for on my part as well. It's like, what are we actually going to do? Are we going to get anything done? And over the years, we've just been doing little things. Like, we've done several creek cleanups, and I know Royce has been heavily involved in those. I mean, he's done a lot. I mean, I remember this time he just practically jumped into a whole bunch of poison oak to go retrieve a car engine. But anyway, like, we've built this teamwork over the years that I believe has really proven to our students at our school and to the administration and to the community that we're really a tight group and we're serious about what we're doing. So on that note, we'd like to move on to some other topics. We're thinking of talking about international right now. You know, as you can read in the headlines or watch the news, you'll see there's just dozens of conflicts out there. It's very depressing. But there's all kinds of things in the Middle East. Some of those are still remnants of Arab Spring, such as Syria and Libya and Egypt. There are other things as well, just other conflicts. Afghanistan, for example, which I believe today is the 11th anniversary of. I believe so, yeah. And Iraq, there's still a lot of conflict there amongst a lot of other places. So, yeah, what are your guys' perspective on the world right now?
It's a bit scary.
Again, war, I don't think we...
It's not usually necessary.
Yeah. Especially since we're talking about peace here, I really wish that we weren't in... The United States wasn't in so many, like, conflicts around the world.
Do you think it's limited to just the United States? What do you think of other countries' interactions?
I think we hear a lot more about the ones the United States is actually involved in.
Yeah.
I agree. What do you think of the United States' involvement with Iran right now? I mean, there's a lot of tension going around. Sometimes there's talk of war.
But, well, what I said about the United States, what we knowing more about the ones the United States is involved in, the United States kind of gets themselves involved in a lot of them, doesn't it? And I don't know about Iran. That's been paranoia for a while.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I think we can talk about a little bit is with Arab Spring that happens back in 2011. A lot of people, there's been a lot of talk about how it was this great popular revolution, all these countries, you know, people wanting change and, you know, democracy and all of that. But a lot of times people fail to realize that there are a lot of other factors involved other than just talk about democracy. In fact, one of the things I recently read about was how food prices, in fact, have been skyrocketing in Syria, and how that was really one of the main causes of the instability. And I think it's really important to note that. Do you guys have perspective on that, on some of the things the media tells us about other countries and causes for things?
There's certainly other sides, causes. And sometimes the media doesn't hit on all of those. Like, I hadn't heard about the high food prices in Syria. But, I mean, if you can't get food, you're not going to want to, like, listen to your governments. You're not feeding us. Why are we going to listen to you? That makes sense to me.
And looking at history books, the things that are written on the history books are oftentimes a lot different than what the media actually told the people at the time.
That's a good point. What do you think people are going to write about with Afghanistan?
Oh.
It kind of depends on who's the victor. I mean, history is written by the victors, isn't it?
Well, they're not really here messing with us, so I'm not sure how they'd really be the victor. They could kick us out of there, but it's not like they're going to destroy our civilization and write the history books for us.
That's true. So, one of the things I've been thinking about a lot lately is the UN. You know, the UN is a big organization established after World War II. It was basically created for a bunch of countries to come together and make sure that something like World War II did not occur ever again. So far, since 1948, the UN has been involved in over 67 missions, I believe, and there are 15 ongoing ones right now. And there's, according to statistics, there's 96,305 uniformed personnel. This is basically soldiers and police, people in uniform serving in these 15 countries. And what do you think of the UN?
Well, I know as like America, we're all like, oh, we're the peacekeeping force of the world. But I kind of think that we should give more power to the UN, since they're like the United Nations, and they could be more of the peacekeeping group.
Yeah. And it's the first step to a united planet, basically.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, you have to realize that the UN has been involved in numerous conflicts that did not necessarily get better because of it. You know, there were some bad things going on over in Bosnia and Rwanda. You know, the UN definitely did a lot of things. I feel like they did what they could to alleviate the conflict, but at the same time, the presence of more armed personnel did not necessarily help things. I mean, I can think of one instance I remember hearing about in a history class where we were talking about how the UN has this order pretty much, you do not fire unless fired upon. Now, the UN was protecting this refugee camp, and the attackers came in and they did not fire on the UN personnel. Instead, they just went in and attacked the refugees, and because of this order, the UN really was not able to respond in a way that I think a lot of people would have hoped. There was just a lot of needless bloodshed. But I'm not advocating that the UN needs to go in and just shoot people when they're suspecting things. That has caused enough problems in the world already. But I'm just thinking there should be revised policy.
Yeah, but soldiers like that sometimes maybe just need to think for themselves instead of just obeying the orders.
Well, the UN is kind of like a coin, in a way. Like, they're either going to be peaceful, or they're going to be in there with soldiers and whatnot, and I don't really think they can be in there with soldiers, because they're the United Nations, they're an organization, they're there to help people, and so they're doing the peace thing, and it's really hard not to rile people up. So, and I think that's what they're trying not to do, and just to help as many people as I can. And that's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah, like Syria, you know, with, I know that over the past year, there's been a lot of peacekeepers sent in there trying to, help stop the bloodshed, but they haven't really been able to do anything just because they're acting as peacekeepers, but there's been really no real benefits from them being there, I do not believe. In fact, I know they've been fired upon by the government. And yeah, so what do you think the role in the UN is these days?
This is sort of unrelated, but have you ever thought of joining the Peace Corps, Jacob?
I've thought about it, yes. I think it's something that is definitely a good service group. We can talk about that more on our next topics.
All right.
Oh, well, what's the question?
What do you think the role of the UN is in the world today? You know, we talked a lot about how there's, you know, you mentioned there's like, it's like a coin, you know, two sides to it.
I think that they're sort of out there just to reduce, like, suffering maybe among people and just to help people out.
In a way, I guess they could kind of be seen as a third party, like when two nations want to get involved in the conflict and the UN can look at it and look at whether they should actually do this or not and give their advice.
I think they're sort of there for the civilians who get caught in the middle and just trying to help humans out.
That's a good point. Let's move on to national. We've talked a bit about international relations here and how different countries and perceptions and how we are actually limited to just because of our national media, to just an American perspective. Now let's talk about American issues. Right now there's an election going on. There's a lot of different things being said about international policy and domestic policy. And a lot of this ties into peace and things we might be seeing in the next couple of years. What do you think on the different candidates' perspectives? Or just how they present themselves?
Personally, I don't like Mitt Romney's focusing more on, like, middle, whatever he focuses on, then. I don't know. I was going to say middle class, but that's not quite it. He said something about wanting to make things better for you and your family instead of making things better in the environment and the entire planet. But as Stephen Colbert said, how many of you live on the planet?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I guess I kind of got that too, how he wants to build up America, but isn't quite focused on the facts around it, just he wants to build it up. He's like coal and oil, and I'm not sure if I agree quite with that. I think we should have more of a environmental outlook.
We definitely need more sustainable energy sources.
Right. So, in that case, are you guys thinking more along the lines of Obama or a different candidate? Or,
Well, voting third party seems kind of pointless, really.
I kind of do wish we had a third party because in elections today, it's just black and white. I mean, life isn't really... Oh, wait, wow, that was a really bad... Oh, God. Oh, that was... anyway, yeah, it's like you either pick the... like Republican or Democrat, there's no in between. It seems more fair when there's like three. Yeah.
Well, there is third parties. They just don't really get any media attention.
I wish the third parties had more. I wish there was a stronger third party.
Why are they all called third parties instead of third, fourth, fifth parties? Because there's more than one third party.
I think we need Vermin Supreme. You know? Got to get him in there. He's a good guy.
I think it's too late for him.
But really, you know, back to the topic about the two candidates. You guys are saying a lot about what Romney's been saying. I remember him mentioning in the debate last week about boosting military spending, which is an interesting idea considering how much money actually goes to the military at this point, and how he was actually getting down on Obama for his. More spending allocated towards sustainable energy and saying that was more of a bad thing. But Obama is not completely clean either. I mean, we can look at the Syrian conflict. I know we've talked a bit about that during this program, but Syria, you know, the United States was very, in a manner of speaking, they're pretty quick to respond to Libya and Muammar Gaddafi's regime, and the United States is all about imposing the no-fly zone and bringing down that regime, you know, oh, help the Libyan people. But Syria, we haven't really seen a U.S. response. And part of the reason behind that, a lot of people have been saying, is that, you know, we're getting so close to the election. Obama doesn't want to risk anything or start a new war or anything like that. But do you think there's the way our foreign policy is going right now, do you think a lot of it has to do with the upcoming election?
Yeah, it's a big part of the election. I mean,
I was sort of thinking while you asked the entire question.
Well, of course, everyone looks at the candidates and they see how they feel about the them.
And well, we already pretty much generally know what Obama does with foreign policy and such, but. I feel like Mitt Romney would just be something new and something probably reminiscent of Bush.
Yeah, speaking of Bush, do you think it has anything to do with oil?
Oil? No, it couldn't have anything to do with oil. We don't need that stuff.
We're out there fighting for solar power.
And freedom.
Yeah.
Of course. That's what it's always been about, freedom.
You can't have more sun than we do. We need all the sun.
That's why we always go after the hot places.
Makes sense.
Have you ever seen Attack on Norway?
No.
Oh. Yeah, that's a really interesting point.
So we have this new AP US history class that
Jacob and I are taking in school. And it's really opened my eyes on how, you know what, the media is extremely biased, and just some of the common stations that we watch every day are biased, and the information that we're getting from them is not necessarily true. But so
that's why you should watch BBC.
That's why I say you should watch The Onion.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, Colbert Report.
Yeah, I love Colbert.
So, now we're going to move on to more local topics. You know, what do you think about our community? Do you think the peace movement, do you think the things we're doing are having a good impact here? Do you think people are going to embrace peace? Or yeah, what do you think the climate is around here for that sort of stuff?
I'm not sure how public the Peace Club actually is. I mean, I know that it's been in the Wilts newspaper and such, but does anyone actually read the Wilts newspaper?
I actually do.
I read the newspaper.
I'll be sitting at work and be like, oh, hey, look, the new newspaper's in, go through it. And I'm like, oh, these are interesting articles. So I actually do read the newspaper.
I read the internet.
Well, some of us don't have the internet, Helios.
You do.
Yeah, so I think we're definitely doing a positive thing in the community here, but it's really hard to find out a specific focus that we can do, since it is hard trying to find a specific focus to focus on as a group.
Right, I agree, and some of that has to do with political issues. We can't being as we are high school students, and we need as much support as possible, we can't necessarily go out and proclaim all of our beliefs just, you know, smack down a piece of paper. We have to really negotiate with how we communicate to people in order to get support and to get things done, really. And I think that's, you know, both good and bad.
And it's not like we can really end foreign conflicts with our peace club. I mean, we can try doing things within the community, but there's really not that many people killing each other within the community.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, within Mendocino County, though, you know, there's a lot of issues that should be solved. But what do you think some of those issues are?
How many issues can we really touch on as like a high school group? But I think we've been pretty good at hitting on the environmental issues and
definitely
cleaning that stuff up, because the environment is really a major part of our life. And if we ruin our home, I mean, yay, we don't have any more food left. Okay. What else could the issues in...
What about those young people that stand in the park and only seem to be fighting and threatening each other? Anyone else notice them?
Yeah, I notice them.
it's kind of touching on, like, the confrontational stuff in society,
right,
and
right,
in schools and whatnot. I mean, everybody can't get along, really, but we can, like, step back and try to find out what the issues are and try to help people get along.
Royce and I got threatened at the last football game.
That was interesting.
They thought his hat was a lizard hat, and I tried to correct him that it had a tiger on it.
It was clearly a tiger, but...
See, people just get aggressive watching people tackle each other, I guess. I'm not a fan of football.
I was enjoying a football game.
So do you think, like, within the schools, do you think, especially at Willits High School, because we don't really have experience at any other high schools, do you think there is a really confrontational atmosphere there? Do you think there's discrimination or yeah?
Well, I think as the school life goes on, people get stressed, and stress leads to people, like, just kind of snapping at other people. And confrontational and, like, aggressive and stuff like that, yeah, I see that. I'm not much of a conformist, and I don't think many of us are here. But, yeah, people are like, hey, why do you do that? How can you do that? You're lame. I don't like how you look. Stuff like that. And I just try to go at it with, you know, a fair outlook and be like, okay, I see that you see that. I'm happy with how I am. I wish you'd be happy with me too.
That's a good point. You bring up a really good and interesting interesting point about dealing with conflict. You know, what are ways that we can deal with conflict when we're being confronted with different issues, and so we have to step back and look at a different way. Do you have any thoughts on that? Ways to avoid conflict?
Well, I have some thoughts on what you were saying before. I was going to answer that. Well, it seems to me the more discriminative people sort of stay in packs and hunt in groups, and I think it's pretty easy to avoid them, in my opinion.
Until you see the wild goth Operisk, and he's being hunted by a group of footballitarians, and you see as they swarm over the park that they seem to be yelling aggressive calls. Let's watch seems to be getting interesting.
Yeah, we should make a documentary like that.
Yeah, it brings up a good point. You know, we as high school students, we have to adapt to our environment more or less. You know, and I've noticed this with a lot of people. We have to adapt in order to avoid different groups or to
definitely
mingle peacefully with our peers. You know, there's a lot of things to pay attention to, and that goes back to what you're saying about pressure and stress, and you know how there's a, it's like we're in this big maze or this whole puzzle we have to just navigate.
Mm-hmm. I could see the adapting side of that.
So, do you think that the amount of poverty in our community has to do with the amount of, like what you're saying, like confrontational elements or
other definitely things? I think that poverty in our community affects a lot of things, like tests and whatnot, and a lot of people like discuss the poverty in our community.
Well, I think a lot of the impoverished people in our community have untraceable income sources, if you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean.
So it's not actually that bad as it looks on a chart.
But yeah, I think not having money and not being able to do the things that you want to do does make people more angry, and just it makes them more violent, maybe.
Right, I agree, and I think there's other things in play too. You said test scores. You know,
yes.
I think that, you know, if we look at this on a bigger scale, you know, test scores influence how much money the schools are getting from the government. And a lot of things like that, and when that is all tied together, you know, is because of the poverty that people aren't doing as well on their scores.
It's kind of a circle.
Yeah, it's really, it's very circular.
And not just test scores. It can, for some people with a difficult home life, it can be very hard to get homework and things done.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're from an impoverished community. You do badly on your tests, and then the government sees you do badly on tests, and they're like, oh, okay, we're not going to give the school that much money. Therefore, you don't get the education you need, therefore you do badly on the tests, and it just goes around and around and around. And
the community produces less educated students.
And that's...
vicious cycle.
And that's not good for the economy.
It's bad for the American way. So, what do you think stimulates aggression in our community? Do you think it is just primarily economics, or do you think there are other factors in play here?
I think the impoverished thing is probably a big part of it, and just there's a lot of discriminatory people.
So, what do you guys think that can make the Willits High School more peaceful?
I think that we need to really engage a lot more. We need, as a club, I think we just we put on more events that are open to the students as well as the community. Just get people pumped about what they're doing, you know? I know that the leadership class is really trying hard to rebuild their image and get more people involved because, like we were saying earlier, it's a sense of community that people want. They feel safe in that. That's why some people join gangs. That's why some people do other things. It's really about that safety and that stability that I think people are seeking. So what we can do really is, you know, first of all, just in our everyday life, be supportive to people, not pass judgment as much. And everybody says that, but I think like on a club level, yeah, just doing more events. You know, what do you think?
And if we do our best to be as cordial as we can to the more discriminatory people, they're going to feel bad for discriminating eventually.
I definitely think that communication is very good. I was actually thinking about that the other day. If we can just sit down and talk with the people that would be more discriminant, that maybe they'd have a different view on things, then rather when they just see us and judge us and then discriminate, if you can talk with them and show them that you're an actual person, and maybe they wouldn't go to the so many steps and get to that ending.
Yeah, building like a culture of listening would be really beneficial, I think, like you were saying.
So yeah, communication could definitely make the high school more peaceful.
I don't think either of you had it last year because you were both sophomores last year. But I think did you guys do the breaking down the wall thing in freshman year?
Yeah.
I thought that was actually very good because I was actually getting along with a lot of people that I don't usually, except for one girl that's not a very nice person. Everyone there seemed to be just getting along with each other, and I had friends that just had been not friends for a while that just became friends again at that thing. That was a really good thing.
To the listening audience, Breaking Down the Walls, by the way, is this program which sophomores, juniors, and I believe
juniors
seniors,
or freshmen.
Freshmen, juniors, and seniors, I believe, are involved with, which happens sometime in the spring, where the school gathers there in the gymnasium, and these presenters basically lead the students through these exercises.
Activities
and exercises designed to encourage listening and group participation, and the overall goal is just like we've been talking about, creating communication and empathy. And it's really effective. I know a lot of people get down on it later on after they've been through it. They're thinking, "Oh, that didn't change anything. That doesn't mean anything." But really, over the years, there have definitely been positive results. I remember talking to our principal, Mr. Oslin, and him reporting that school violence has actually gone down quite a bit since this program has been instigated.
So, does peer counseling help reduce conflicts? Well, I don't really have much experience with the peer counseling. In freshman health class, we did a thing where we went to the peer counseling room. Actually, I don't think it was the peer counseling room, but we pretended we were having a party, and we all pretended to drink alcohol, but it was really apple juice, and then this cop guy came in and busted us and told us all we were going to get arrested, and it was kind of scary, but I don't have any other experience with peer counseling besides that.
So, peer counseling, we have a peer counseling class in school. And I haven't really seen them about much, but I guess if you knew the students that were in there, you could like walk up and talk to them about stuff. But I don't know if I've necessarily done that or have done that yet. But peer counseling in general, like hoping to counsel your peers, that's helpful, and I kind of do that on a daily basis. I mean, just helping out your friends with their issues in life, it's good. It helps.
Can you just request a peer counselor? Or what?
Yeah, I mean, I myself am a peer counselor, by the way.
Exactly.
You should have
so
talked
you
first.
Do know, yeah, you do know peer counselors. Peer counseling is a really good program. It's really strong. There are a lot of students involved in it. And it definitely has the potential of alleviating conflicts within the school. I know there's a big focus just getting more people involved in activities. It's really similar to Peace Works, actually. There's some parallels there. But peer counseling is much older and bigger program than we are. Peer counseling, though, there's definitely been a big push to get the image out there that people can come to peer counselors and discuss their issues. So that's one thing I've recognized over the years is that is something that needs to be developed.
Yeah, well, I'd do that if it didn't clash with my other elective.
If I totally had any issues, I would talk to you, Jacob.
Oh, thanks. So one thing that's really prevalent in our schools, our school especially, and in our community, is apathy. We've kind of been going around talking about different issues and aggression, but what do you think about apathy in our school?
Apathy from whom?
Just the students, you know. You notice how many people go to the dances or to the football games. It's not as high as some other schools.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have actually not been to one of the dances yet. And I've been to a few football games, but I didn't actually watch the football because I really don't understand that game. So
I haven't been to any dances in a while. Mostly because it's, I don't really like the music choice. But the football is really good because it really brings people out into the community and creates a community. And, like, I was there on Friday, and we won. That was really cool. But, yeah, we won. You weren't even watching. Wow. So, like, I got to see people I knew. Like, I have, like, family that's in the that are football players. I got to see family friends there. I got to see regular friends there. I got to socialize. It was good. And there's football behind it, and that even brings you more into, like, binds you together as, like, a community also. So I think it's really good at doing that.
I brought my Game of Thrones book to there, but the music and announcements was very distracting trying to read.
So you just go to football games to get some reading done.
I tried. I thought the lights would be nice.
Well, we're going to segue now into the next part of the program. We're going to open the phone lines.
Ooh, phone lines.
The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth and teachers in the listening audience. Please call if you have questions or insights about encouraging peace in your community. So some of these questions might be, what do you do in your community to encourage peace? Where is there a need to develop harmony? If individuals attain inner peace, will there be peaceful communities? Are you concerned that many of our brightest young people leave the area for college and never return? And what could be done to slow down this brain drain from Mendocino County?
Brain drain.
Did you grow up here, go away to college, and return? And how did you do it, and why? Have you ever been a part of a peace movement? And what were your goals? What were your actions? Did you accomplish your goals? Now remember, the phone number is 456-9991. And when you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion on creating peace in our communities. Please call soon. The show will be over at 4 o'clock. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, hi there. I really appreciate what you guys are doing at your school with your Peace Club and stuff. And I wanted to encourage you. I missed the beginning. Are you in Laytonville or Willits?
We're in Willits today.
Okay, cool. Well, every Friday from 5 to 6, we have a vigil outside Howard Hospital. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to invite you to come sometime. We're all a bunch of old farts. It'd be nice to have some young people, some young energy. And anyway, I agree with you. It totally feels so good to be with other people who have the same feelings that you do about war and about how the world is. So it really recharges me for the next week. I'd love to have you come out if you want.
Oh, cool. I'd go to that. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thanks for being who you are and where you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
All right, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a member of the youth in the community. And I have a question which might start kind of a bloodbath on the radio. But, it has in the local newspaper. I'd like to know what your opinions are on the Willits bypass and how that affects our community.
Ooh,
good question. I think I know who this is. So, bypass. So I know there's been a lot of dispute about that, or various things. Some people saying it'll help the economy because there'll be more direct, there'll be ways to get around the town, but also there's some other factors involved there. There's also been a lot of other people saying there's environmental issues and also negative positive economic things because people can't get through town faster. So I don't actually have an opinion personally on which side is better. What do you guys think?
I think it'd be kind of nice to go on a road trip from the far south up 101 and get to see Wilts on the way, but I don't know if that's much of a point.
There's like a map like 2 feet from us that like shows the Wilts bypass over there. I was kind of staring at it for a while.
You can't see it?
Well, that's because it's behind a wall.
How do you see it?
Well, I think it's interesting that I know Ukiah has a bypass, And a lot of us here seem to go to Yokai a lot, because it's like the only major like city by us.
Not a major city.
It's not a major city, but it has like a Walmart, so that counts.
Makes it a major city.
Subway in there. I mean, if people like if people are driving up here and they like reach Willits and they're like, yeah, basically if you hit Willits, you're like planning on going up the coast. So, yeah, I think you'd kind of want to go through it faster.
Right. And the way Willits is set up, I think the people on their road trips kind of hit the McDonald's and Burger King and Jack in the Box before they get to the real local stores.
Right, that's a good point.
But again, like...
Oh, if, I guess they could be going south.
If you're driving... I guess if you're driving south, but if you're, like, going, like, up, there's not a lot really on the road if you're going... I mean, there's, like, Eureka and stuff, but... Like, this might be, you guys, like, hey, I don't know about Eureka, but, Willits is, like, a good stop to, like, eat stuff, and so that might be a reason not to have the bypass. But then again, the bypass has been on the books for, like, 20 years.
30 or 40 years.
500 years or something. I mean, jeez. It's, like, six times.
It's been going since, like, the 70s.
Yeah.
It's, like, six times older than I am. I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I think, there are definitely negative impacts because of the bypass, but personally I feel like there would be some beneficial ones. Just think of all the emissions being put out there from people sitting in traffic every day. You know, that's a lot that accumulates over like 30 years or something.
It's like a major project. Yeah. I mean, there's like, I was staring at the map again, and it's gonna be like a lot of concrete and a lot of asphalt, and like it's big. Okay,
that's true. So
well, you're also unbiased. I'm so proud of you. Incredible. Wow.
Thanks.
Okay, I'll get off the air and let another caller.
Okay, have a good day.
Okay, you too.
And do we have somebody there? No? I'll go.
Alright, so, yeah, remember the number is 456-9991. Yeah, just please call in if you have any insights, experiences, questions. You know, we're here.
I'm not sure I called that. Is it 456-9991?
What do we do if someone calls?
I believe it is 456-9991.
And you're on the air.
Hi, guys. You're doing a wonderful job with this program. I'm real proud of you. Your ability to communicate and build community with one another is going to be so valuable in your futures. And I think you're being really great examples for your peers.
Oh, thank you.
It was difficult in the 80s and 90s to look at the thought that what my generation, which is probably a generation and a half ago at this point, thought was going to be the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you've breathed new life into it. Continue the great job.
Oh, thank you.
And keep delving into what happened beforehand so you don't repeat those mistakes.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That's kind of interesting, because like I when we think about the future, that's like the generation like that's coming after us. That's
a bunch of kindergartners right now.
That's gonna be interesting.
The little kids in Wilts scare me.
Just like the things that they're gonna have to deal with is really interesting.
Right,
like
global warming.
Like the past is just like, oh, we're gonna have flying cars and we're gonna be in space. Nope, we have global warming and like nuclear weapons and like oil. Woohoo.
Pretty scary stuff. I guess that's
so
go ahead.
456-9991.
Oh, I didn't think I knew that one.
Your voice is funny.
Hey, shh, shh. Yeah, so generations are interesting, and I kind of wish I had a flying car.
Yeah, I think all of us do, but really do have to think of alternative fuel sources. I mean, gasoline, it's not going to be around forever. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to ask you guys,
mm-hmm.
What is the next step for the Peaceworks Club?
At this point, I know between our leadership group within the club, we've been talking about different ideas. Basically what we want to do is we want to create an event that brings together various service groups around Mendocino County, mostly high school service groups, like the Environmental Club down in Ukiah. If there are any other groups in Fort Bragg or other places in Mendocino County, we want to bring together these people so that we can have just this common discussion about all the issues we share and different strategies we want to use to solve them as a united front. So I think that's pretty much the direction at this point.
I think we're also going to be doing the Thanksgiving coffee fundraiser again this year. And that was interesting last year because we got to put like our own art on the front of the coffee bags, and we got to like basically label it as our own. And it was a really cool fundraiser, and we're going to fundraise some money and try to invest that into peaceful opportunities.
Yeah, into peaceful opportunities such as like cleanups and helping students go to peace summits, things like that.
So. All right, that sounds awesome. I know you guys will do it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening.
All right, bye-bye.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling about, I turned the radio down so I didn't hear everything that was said, but I heard about the global warming part, and I just wanted to put in my 2 cents or 3 cents worth. Part of this global weather change, of course, a lot of people know about the chemtrails and what they're doing over the ocean, mm-hmm. blowing in all this barium and aluminum and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I watched a third trail coming out of a jet when I was trying to take a suntan here in Fort Bragg 1 year. And then a third trail came out of the middle of a jet, and Rosalyn Peterson of Redwood Valley wanted more information about that. And then they shut the trail off after they passed by the sun. Hmm. And they had so many streaks going across there. Hmm. So I don't know what you guys can do about that or anybody, but yeah, we're headed into some real critical times.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really, I didn't think I'd live long enough to see what's going on. I'm starting to open the Bible a little bit now. I'm reading Revelation going, oh my gosh, I didn't believe that stuff before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what we can really do is just do, you know, whatever
you
basic, yeah, do what you can with what you have. And that's really,
that's about
really,
all.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, thank you for your call.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, you're on there?
Oh, hi. I was listening to you guys earlier, and you were talking about how poverty at the school affects peace among the students. And I was just wondering if you guys could take a little time to explain to me how you see that play out. And I can't hear you, so get on the phone, so I'm going to take the question off the air.
Well, we were talking about it earlier, and actually... our principal and our teachers like hitting on it in school that apparently we have like a 60% poverty rate in our school here.
Traceable income.
yeah. Well. Anyway. So it kind of comes down to like we're poor, so we don't get as good of as an education as people in. Bigger cities have, so we get we do worse on tests, and then the government sees that, and they grade it as we don't get as much money as bigger school cities do because we don't do as good on tests.
Right, there's just not as much resources given to our school as is necessary to help it, implement better programs that would help student learning. That's really how we see it play out is just, a lot of people don't graduate, and those that do, there isn't really that high of a group of people that go on to college at our high school. Some years it has been a lot bigger than others, but, you know, it's really interesting to see it play out, and I think just, trying to fix those things would be really quite a big task, but it should be done.
And hungry people tend to be more negative than well-fed people.
Good points.
My mom likes saying, like, the best sound is, like, people all, like, munching on food.
Oh, that's a good
like,
sound.
That's, like, the happiest sound.
So, yeah, thank you for your call. So, yeah, there's a lot of people without jobs in our area. This is going along with what we were saying about poverty. And not all people grow weed.
Mm-hmm.
Many people just don't have opportunities around here to do very many other things. And it really affects people mentally. A lot of people will get depressed, and some turn to drugs or alcohol. And I think that plays out in our school too, with the families and with with the child that's in the school system, just influencing them in a big way. So I think economic opportunities are key to turning some of this around.
Yeah, they all kind of lead into factors that affect our education.
So. We only got a few more minutes here, but feel free to call in. Remember, the number is 456-9991. We're waiting for you.
Doing all this cool stuff up in here, talking about peace.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a lot easier than I thought it would be.
I mean, we're on the radio. How cool is that?
And our conversation had a lot more fluency than I thought it would.
Oh, definitely. So
I've been excited for this thing for days now.
Literally days.
So looks like we'll have to sign off here. That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Jacob, and...
Oh, we have Royce Pert.
And
Elios Segoras.
And Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools Healthy Students Bronco Project, building resilient opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314 or email at patsanborn@willitsunified.com. Please visit the Bronco website at sshsbronco.org. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There, you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That is November 4th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in November.